Well, good morning all. When I was a little boy, I lived on a small RAF camp out in the country, and there weren't many families there. It was quite a small camp, and so all of us kids, of course, used to play together, none of us having a particular best friend. That is, until the little boy next door got a new pedal car. And then suddenly he became my very best friend, whom I'd call for every day, until one day when I knocked on the door to ask if he was coming out, his brother said, "Do you mean, is his car coming out?" The brother, of course, had rumbled me. He knew I wasn't looking for his little brother at all, but to play with his car. And I think in today's gospel, there's something similar going on in the minds of the crowd. You know, how come Jesus has attracted such a huge number who are willing to follow him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee without taking any provisions for the journey? The answer, of course, is in the first verse. They were impressed by the signs he gave by curing the sick. So like me with a pedal car, they're not really looking for him, but for the miracles he can perform. However, Jesus knows they're only here for the beer, as the old advert used to put it. Yet he still goes on to work one of the most spectacular of his miracles, feeding 5,000 men, women and children, after which, of course, he had to escape in order to avoid their attempts to make him king, and no doubt in their minds, you know, be assured of free food and healthcare for life. The last thing he wanted to do was to give the impression of manipulating gullible people by promising them everything in exchange for their personal freedom, as we have seen happen in recent times with some of these, you know, strange cults in America. In this case, Jesus had simply felt sorry for them, so he decided to feed them. Of course, he knew the deeper significance of what he was doing, and as we'll see over the next few weeks, we'll use that miracle as a kind of launch pad for his teaching on the Eucharist. One part that we probably gloss over each time we read about the miracle is the story of the leftovers. What do we make of it? In our throwaway society, who cares about leftovers when we've all been fed and satisfied? Why did Jesus insist that all the scraps get picked up so that nothing gets wasted? By the way, it's interesting that there are 12 baskets. You know, could Jesus be making a deliberate link between the 12 tribes of the Old Testament, the Old Dispensation, and the 12 apostles of the New Testament, as if to show that what he is doing is a direct continuation of what God did for his people in the past? But back to the scraps. All 12 baskets end up full. So not only has God fed everybody, but there's stacks left over, like the 40 gallons of wine at Cana. In other words, God's gifts are superabundant. There's plenty for everyone. Obviously, the chosen people had to be fed first and filled with the promise of salvation. But what was left over for us is not any less precious, so none of it should be wasted. The abundant scraps left over are collected and put aside for all peoples who will be invited after the Lord's resurrection to the messianic feast in the kingdom of heaven at the end of time. And that's why later Jesus will insist on talking about working for food that will last. The bread that the crowd ate that day was temporary, like the manna their fathers ate in the desert. But the bread that he will give is food for eternal life. And over the centuries, you know, millions of us have benefited from this greatest of God's gift, the Eucharist, and continue to do so. But we can't leave this story without regard for its other implications as well. So in 2021, many parts of our world are still hungry. People are still dying of starvation or risking their lives to get to a country which has plenty of food. And yet we know there are mountains of food produced every year. Well, how do we know that? Because we throw away tons of it, of what we have left over. So God's superabundance hasn't stopped. There's plenty of food to go around, but our sharing of the world's resources does leave a lot to be desired. Gandhi once said, "There's enough in the world for man's need, but not for his greed." Finally, it's interesting that Elisha and Jesus, though centuries apart, use virtually the same words. "Give them something to eat. The poor must have something to eat." And the response from Elisha's servant and the apostle Philip are the same. How can I possibly you know, feed all these people? And it's the same answer that our government gave when it slashed our foreign aid budget. But if we do what Elisha says, they will eat and have some left over, which Jesus proved. The lesson being that if we are generous with what we have, like the lad with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, the gifts of God will never cease to multiply.